And so with Trey Burke in foul trouble and Gordon Hayward out, and maybe this is something I want to talk a little bit about too, is Gordon Hayward's injury and whether or not it's real.
Right.
Because, you know,
it might be real necessary,
timing,
but not real. You know,
perhaps.
What I'm saying.
Well, okay, so, you know, instead of just teasing that, let me get into it a little bit.
Sure.
So I did some research into hip flexor injuries, which is what the Jazz say that Hayward has. And apparently, this is from a website that says it's an expert on...
MD.com?
Yes, okay. WebMD.com. No, I don't know. It was the first result from Google. But regardless, it says, frequently a hip flexor strain is the result of an overly forceful contraction. This can occur during a sprint or series of sprints. This strain can also be the result of overuse and associated microtraumas. So we know that Gordon Hayward... Yeah, I know, right? This is the most exciting radio ever. Let me read to you WebMD kind of stuff. But, you know, we know that Gordon Hayward is number two in the NBA in miles traveled so far, out of any player in the NBA. So it makes sense that he would get an injury based on kind of this repetitive trauma, especially given that he's sprinting everywhere on the court.
Okay.
So it's not unexpected.
But what did Ty Corbin tell you pregame? When you asked him, when did this injury happen?
Yeah, so I asked him, you know, I was kind of skeptical. And like, you know, well, and he single-handedly won the game on Tuesday, right, with this 37-point, 11-rebound, 7-assist
sure.
performance. Maybe the
two
Jazz
blocks and a steal.
With,
no, sorry. Two steals and a block.
But yeah, Hayward was spectacular, won the game by himself Tuesday. Maybe we couldn't have that again on Friday. And so I asked Ty Corbin when the injury happened. He said, and if he knew when the injury happened, he said he didn't know. A hip flexor is usually muscle tightness. This is in quotes. It could happen when you're sleeping.
So, that's what Ty said.
That's what Ty said.
Well,
I love
so
that.
Not quite WebMD.com.
No.
But.
I love that guy. How do you get injured while you're sleeping?
Ty,
does he have a history of sleepwalking?
It may be sleeping, quote unquote, with the engagement. I don't want
to
too much.
Oh, look
that.
At you
that
going the, Marvin Gaye on us.
That
man.
Was the Peter Novak explanation.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. He,
it might be engagement sleeping.
Ooh, I feel
says.
That hip injury coming on, baby.
Watch my hip flexor next time, dear.
Yeah.
That was some great producing, by the way, by Patrick Brown back there.
So, I mean, you have a coach that's saying
so you're
something
calling
different
BS.
Than the... I don't know if I'm calling
you're
BS.
You're calling makes, draft pick injury.
At the very least, it's a good excuse. Like, whoever put out the hip flexor excuse knew what they were doing because it is kind of the injury that's associated with overuse. But that none of the coaching staff
sorry,
knows
everything
how
just
this
sounds
happens.
Dirty now.
I gotta
move on here.
I guess here's my thing. If you were
Dan Clayton joins us, everybody.
Hey, how's
farewell
how's our,
to thee.
Thanks,
fare thee well. We'll
thanks.
Talk about that later, but what's your reaction?
I mean, I guess if you were just going to surgically pick a game to have Gordon Hayward miss, because it sounds like he's a game-time decision for Monday, right? So this literally might have been like a, hey, let's not have him for Cleveland. I just wonder why, you know, like why that game? Like,
well, because they're also a 12-win team, right? So if you lose against them, then you have, you know, you're more likely to be
so,
below the rankings.
So every time the Jazz play the Sixers or the Cavs or the...
We may see a new player go out every time.
Oh,
Knicks
Derek.
No,
Derek,
I don't think so.
Derek, your hip is a little sore, isn't it? No, it feels fine. Well,
careful
what about
how
your
you
third
sleep,
toe,
Derek?
Derek? No, yeah. My third toe is good, too. Derek, tell us the truth. You're hurting a little,
we'll get
aren't
everybody
you?
Engaged until they're injured.
So here's my thing. Having you know, not administered a physical to Gordon Hayward recently... No one's going to touch that one? Okay.
No, so, no. Keyword being recently. Let's move on.
Okay. So I don't know, right? Like none of us know if it, you know, how bad his hip is, if it's really affecting movement, whatever. What we know is that he played really well in the game immediately before. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you, Andy. I think it makes sense that a player who runs as much as he does, and not just run. It's not just the movement and the amount of distance he covers. It's the fact that a lot of his moves are based on sort of that Ginobili, herky-jerky, you know, fake jab, step, spin, another fake kind of movement. So, I mean, I could see it, but at the same time, I also see how it makes sense that if you had a guy who was at 83% on game night, you'd sit him down in this particular season.
Well, okay, so a couple things there. First of all, we only had a game Tuesday, and then the next game's Monday, right? So that's 6 days off. That's a pretty extensive time for a player to heal in the middle of the NBA season to repair these kind of micro tears that the website refers to. The second thing is that I don't know that there's an incentive for either Hayward or Corbin to play along here, right? Like, Hayward's in a contract year, so it absolutely makes sense for him to play, especially given how well he's been playing over the last three games. He wants to keep that momentum going and so on and so forth.
Or maybe he says, hey, I just had 37 against Kevin Durant. I just made my money.
I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah, exactly. Leave on a high note like George Costanza.
Keep him wanting more. Yeah, okay. Gordon out for the rest of the year.
But then Ty Corbin is also in a contract year, right? Yeah. And wants to play his best player, so, you know, he has a chance of getting a contract next year, like we talked about on the show last week.
Yeah.
But on the other side of that argument, if he isn't being in a contract year, this might be a good sign for all Jazz fans that want Hayward back, that the Jazz feel confident, they're not looking to trade him at the trade deadline coming up. You're going to see Gordon Hayward, Derek Favors, Enes Kanter, Trey Burke, Alec Burks. You're going to see these guys come down with quote-unquote injuries all the way up until the trade deadline, which gets into some of our question of the day. Is Richard Jefferson playing too much? Because on one side of that argument is you got to play him if you're going to trade him. You got to show what you have. So Gordon Hayward sitting out, fake or real fake, you decide. But I think it's a good move. Like you said, 6 days, that might be a little extensive. But that's just how the schedule matched up.
Well, it's great for him to be able to heal that long. As far as Richard Jefferson goes, I think that trading him ship sailed once Andrew Bynum got traded.
No, I disagree.
I do too.
Yeah, I think what the Bynum rumor tells us about what the Jazz's mindset is right now is that they are absolutely looking for deals.
Oh, I completely agree.
And a particular kind of deal.
Who else, what other contracts like that where you can cut a guy in the middle of the season and save money?
There are none anymore because we're past the guarantee date. So you don't have that particular deal available to you anymore. I'm just saying the Jazz will absolutely look to swing some asset producing trades. And if they're going to do that, the names that are going to come up in every phone call are Richard Jefferson, Marvin Williams, Brandon Rush, and Andres Biedris.
I don't know that those names are coming up from the other teams, though. You know what I mean?
Maybe not.
I don't know who's asking for Richard Jefferson.
Unless
really.
Richard Jefferson plays himself into those conversations.
I don't think that's what the other team is asking for. I think what the other team is asking for is insert name here that has an expiring contract. It's like it's like collective bargaining Mad Libs. I think they just want a guy who's on his way out. And look, I mean, Richard, this is less true for Brandon Rush and Andres Biedrins, who just haven't looked that good so far.
Who are they?
But I think for Richard and for Marvin, I think, there are some teams that if a contender had a rotation wing get hurt that was also on an expiring and they thought, okay, well, you know, we need to replace this guy in the rotation. He's not going to be playing anyway. We're not re-signing him this summer. I think there are some deals. I think there are some deals that involve Richard, and I think there are especially some deals that involve Marvin.
Right.
As much as I like Marvin.
Richard Jefferson was acquired, now this is Austin's opinion, for the sole sake of trading him before this upcoming deadline. I could be proven wrong. Maybe a deal doesn't come along. Maybe that wasn't the plan, but I think he knew it. The Jazz know it. I think half of the fan base accepts it, and that's why you're going to see him playing a little more than the guys behind
him. I think Richard Jefferson was acquired because the Golden State Warriors wanted to get rid of him so badly, right? Like, that's why they were willing to give up those assets.
But of all the teams, all the guys with expiring contracts, who has the most to offer to another team?
Marv.
Richard Jefferson.
I think Marvin. I mean, Marvin, look, Marvin shot a lot better. Marvin has a smaller contract. Marvin is a more versatile player. He can play different roles. He can actually play defense.
I still think Richard Jefferson's
doesn't have a great injury record either.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, I think Richard is number two on that list. That's why I say I think that there are some feasible moves out there that involve Richard. I think a team that knows they're going to the playoffs and knows they're light on the rotation and knows that it's just a 2 month investment by that point, and knowing that the Jazz have already paid the majority of his $11 million contract,
I just don't know who has a $9 million salary in order to get to that 25% up to $11 million, which is where Richard Jefferson is. I don't know who has a $9 million salary with an expiring deal because I don't think the Jazz are going to take on more than 1 year here. I don't think they want to go on and spend money for next season.
That's the other thing is I honestly think everything that the Jazz are doing right now is all about June.
Yeah.
And I think they'll do whatever they need to do to make sure they come away from June with one of those top three or four guys we keep talking about. And that's
they have to. They absolutely have to do that.
And that's where I think if there's a deal where you do bring back a guy that has multiple years, that's where you're going to get an asset that's actually going to help you on June 26th. So I'm not sure that we want to – I'm not sure that that possibility isn't out there. I know what Dennis has said, and I caught a piece of his interview last night with you guys, Austin, you know, I heard him saying that we want to keep our options open and maintain some flexibility. But I think if Richard or if Andres or if any of those guys could net you a guy with longer term, I mean, the example I used the other day on Salt City Hoops is Ryan Anderson, and it's probably a bad example for a variety of reasons. But New Orleans may just decide that, hey, if we trade Ryan Anderson for an expiring, then all of a sudden we have a max salary slot this summer, so let's do it. And they might be in a position where they say, hey, if someone will take Ryan Anderson this year plus the 2 years, $17 million he has left, we'll give you an asset. That's the kind of trade the Jazz will do, because I don't think it's about preserving cap space this summer. I think everything they're doing is about Jabari, Wiggins, Randall, Embiid. I think that's what their goal is. And if something gets them closer to that goal, cap space be damned, I think they'll do it.
So with that Ryan Anderson example, I just think that he's kind of a positive asset, right? That you could get something in return for Ryan Anderson rather than returning a draft pick to another team. Now, maybe with Eric Gordon, you look at that, who's someone, again, who has 2 years, but then you're paying $15 million a year for the next 2 years after this.
Yeah, and that's not Dennis's plan.
A lot of things.
He wants to not take shortcuts. He doesn't want to skip steps in this rebuild. He doesn't want to bring in a veteran. He wants to bring in one of these guys in the June draft and build them.
Yeah, and like Ryan Anderson, there are too many analytically savvy teams that would just love having him. I mean, and like, he'd be perfect on the Rockets.
Yeah. I guess theoretically, but the point is he has 2 years, $17 million remaining, and that's a pretty uncomfortable amount to be paying a guy who's essentially a Matt Harpring type player. Not that he's stylistically at all like Matt, but right. he's in that role player plus category. He's a little bit more than a role player, but he's never going to be a star or a top three
this
or four
Ryan
guy.
Ryan Anderson we're talking
about? Yeah, yeah. I just mean that type of guy. And again, I don't want to get like in the weeds with the Ryan Anderson example or the Eric Gordon example or whatever. I'm just saying that teams, you know, I went and looked at team salary when I was writing that post on Thursday, Andy, and, you know, there are teams out there that are one move away from having a max salary slot available to go after LeBron or to go after Wade or to go after Melo. And so I think that there are some teams that are going to be willing to make those kinds of deals in February. And I think Dennis will pull the trigger if it gets them closer to Jabari, Wiggins, Randall, Embiid, Exum.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't know that fit is there. That's, I guess, what I struggle with. I don't know that there's the GM that's demanding to get rid of those contracts like you do. And up to someone like Eric Gordon, who's probably being paid too much. I don't know that there's a happy medium where the Jazz can find a deal with another team, so that obviously both sides will be happy.
Our friend Dan Tate on Twitter, formerly Jazz Nation, I don't know what the story is there.
I am a Jazz fan.
I am a Utah Jazz fan. Yeah. But he points out, you know, the Spurs are notorious for bringing guys in such as Richard Jefferson.
Well, they actually brought in Richard Jefferson at one point.
Tracy McGrady. Right, exactly. What would stop them if they're making a run at the end of the year towards the Western Conference, you know, towards the playoffs, Western Conference Finals, NBA Finals, to make a trade with the Jazz for Richard Jefferson?
Well, right. I think that's the type
of
trade.
Yeah. Or Marvin Williams.
Right. Now, I don't know if that's the trade that Dennis pulls the trigger on because, you know, best case scenario, now you've just added an extra pick in the 25 to 30 range. So I don't know that San Antonio is necessarily the team you want to deal with in that scenario. If it is all about getting one of those top five guys on June 26th.
The Clippers, the Thunder, Miami,
but yeah, those
Indiana.
Are the type, you either look for a contender
Atlanta.
That needs to shore up their wing rotation, or you look for a team that is paying tax for a sucky team.
Yeah.
Like, why would New York or Brooklyn not want to get rid of some salary right now?
Right.
I'll throw an intriguing name out there. I almost threw this in the piece on Thursday, but
New York and Brooklyn don't have any picks left. Sorry.
Oh yeah,
right. They are completely
that's
out.
That's true.
Of
yeah.
Picks.
But I mean, they could give you something that
what
you know,
an awful
they could,
hack job, by the way.
They could give you like Marshawn Brooks. I mean, but
this
what's
is the
point, right?
This is the draft of all drafts. In recent memory, and here they have no
picks. And they
picks.
Gave it away. Yeah. It is
which is funny, too.
And the Lakers gave theirs away even, too.
Because you kind of wonder what effect that has on, you know, everybody assumes this is going to be the year that tanking is just going to be out of control. Now look at the number of teams that are currently 1 through 15 who owe their pick to somebody else. Mm-hmm. So that's just kind of, you know, that's interesting. We'll see how many teams really have a motivation to tank and how many of them say, yeah, we're just helping someone else's pick get better. But no, I think Tate's onto something. I think that's the kind of deal. But again, for the Jazz to do it, and particularly if they're going to take back salary in return, long-term salary in return, I think it's going to be a deal that without a doubt gives them a piece so that if they land eighth after lottery day, they have the pieces to, you know, jigger their way up to 5 or 4.
I just think that's so hard. I mean, you looked at how often that happens and during a post this year, and really the only time that's ever happened was this Trey Burke trade.
No.
To move up in the draft from like 8 to top 5?
No, what I said about the Trey Burke deal is that the Jazz should not have been able to package 14 and 21 and get 9. That was pretty much without precedent. But teams move top 5 picks all the time. At least in the last 12 years that I was looking at, right? Now, here's what it takes to get
Cleveland
a top 5
wishes
pick.
They had moved yeah. top 5 pick.
Here's what it takes to get a top 5 pick. You have to give up a package of picks. You almost always have to give up at least one and sometimes two starting caliber players or stars. And you almost always have to take back bad salary in return. So if Dennis goes into June 26th willing to package Golden State's 21 and the Jazz's 8, I'm making up numbers, we don't know, right? Yeah. But 21 and 8, and he's willing to throw in, don't hate me, Jazz fans, but he's willing to throw in Cantor or Burks, and he's willing to take back an Albatross contract in return. I think that there is a chance that that gets you to the, you know, it won't get you the number one pick, and it probably doesn't get you the number two pick this year, but it could get you 3 to 5.
Yeah.
I believe. We'll see. I mean, this, you know, every draft has its own sort of economic system with its own, you know, and this one's weird. You know, we haven't seen one like this, especially because it also precedes a pretty unprecedented free agent class as well. So I think this year will be really odd, and we'll have to see how the economics play out.
Get us on Twitter, at Austin Horton, at Andy B. Larson, at Jazz 1600 AM.
Yeah, for the moment.
For now.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later. Also at McGregor Zone, if you please. Gordon Hayward's injury, real or not? Do you care? RJ, Richard Jefferson, is he getting too much playing time? And do you want Marvin Williams back next year? We'll get to some comments from Marvin on the other side. Devin Masters, as we go out, gets us on Twitter. Definitely wants Marvin back next year, but as a reserve, not a starter. Food for thought during the break. This is the Saturday Show on 1280 The Zone.
I'll tell you what, man, I love being in Salt Lake. I love playing for the Jazz. From the moment I got traded here, man, I really have enjoyed myself. Now, obviously, the NBA is a business, and I do understand that. I've been around long enough to understand that. But if it was my choice, without a doubt, I'd be wearing a Utah Jazz uniform next year. So hopefully things work out for the better, and hopefully I am able to return here next year.
It is the Saturday Show here on 1280 The Zone.
That was Andy Larson, right?
Jazz. Yeah, Andy B. Larson. No, that's Marvin Gay Williams.
I'm glad it wasn't you now that you're leaving.
Yeah.
But, you know,
well, it's a business.
A lot of people say those sorts of things, and you know, you're not sure if they mean it. I know Marvin means it.
Right.
I had a conversation, actually, with his father about a year ago when he first came to Salt Lake and was probably in town for 4 or 5 months.
Look at you, meeting the parents.
I know. It was great. and, yeah, I mean, Marvin Williams Sr. loves the town. He's kind of acting in town as Marvin Williams Jr.'s helper / agent / confidant, you know, all, whatever else. But
I didn't know that position was open.
It is. It's not open,
not
with,
open anymore.
With his father. But anyway. And so, I don't know. It's just great to hear someone like Salt Lake City, Utah, and like staying with the Jazz after we hear all these things about free agents don't want to be here. You know, Marvin Williams doesn't really have any ties to the community other than living here the past year. But, you know, Salt Lake City has a lot to offer, and I'm glad that Marvin and Marvin Sr. both see that and both like it here.
So the three of us want Marvin back. Is that what I'm reading into this as?
No, look, I mean, I'm a big Marvin fan. I like what he does for this year's Jazz team, and I like his versatility. So I think he's a complimentary player that could help the Jazz no matter what they come away with in the summer, meaning if the Jazz wind up in a position where they can grab an Embiid-type guy, then great. Marvin can now go back to his natural position. If they grab a guy like Jabari, then Marvin can be a guy who plays a couple different positions off the bench. Having said that, again, it's all about what gets the Jazz in a good position this June. And if a deal comes up between now and February 20th that involves Marvin but gets them closer to someone else, I think they have to do it. And it gives, yeah. And it pains me to say that because I like the crap out of Marvin.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, it just makes basketball sense. And I think Marvin would realize that. And, you know, if he does like it a ton, then you can trade him at the trade deadline and then re-sign him when he's a free agent this summer, if you so choose.
Plus, he's like Wolverine, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Marvin joined the Big Show on Thursday. And speaking of him being a part of the plan, he said even since high school, he's always been a part of the plan.
Jake Scott and Tony
Yeah, it's been nice. You know, my whole career, you know, I've always been a piece. You know, I've never really been the guy on any team I've ever played in my life, you know, outside of high school. But, heck, even still on my high school team, I was still a piece of the team. So I've always enjoyed being a piece. You know, when I was in Atlanta, I was a piece of that core group that was down there for so long. And, you know, here in Utah, I'm a piece of the puzzle as well. So I've never minded it. The only issue is when you are drafted so high, you know, guys kind of expect a lot more from you. They want you to be the guy, but... No, I can't say that I've ever been comfortable being the guy. I've never asked to be the guy. I've just always enjoyed being a piece of what is going on. And I think I've done a pretty good job just kind of playing my role and getting better every year and continuing to work.
And so the fear, I think, with a lot of fans, a lot of GMs, is if you bring a guy back, especially a guy that's drafted number two overall, he's expecting to be the guy. But at this point in his career, and you're fearful of the contract that he's going to demand, at this point in his career, though, if we take Marvin at his word, that he loves, loves, loves being in Utah, he should be okay taking a salary cut and coming back to the Jazz in a reserve role, shouldn't he?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I think that's fairly reasonable. You don't want him to take too much of a cut. I think like a, I don't know, 3-year, $15 million deal along the lines of what Korver got a long time ago makes some sense for him. I agree with Dan, though, that it makes some sense to bring him back just because he is a versatile player and he fits within that team perspective. And, you know, it's great to see a player who doesn't complain about his role that way.
I talked to Marvin not that long ago and asked some of the same questions, actually. You know, I asked him if it bothers him to hear his name come up a lot. Mm-hmm. And you know, that question was maybe a little bit of my own guilty conscience because I'm one of the people bringing up his name.
Does it hurt your feelings when I bring
your name
up
every
day?
And, you know, he just said, he's like, look, man, I've been around too long for that stuff to make me nervous. You know, I'm excited to see what the future brings. So, you know, I think Marvin is a pro's pro. I think he gets what's going on. I think he understands things. I think he's a great guy to have around a young team that's growing up and getting better. And I think he's right. I don't think he's a dude who's ever going to, you know, get in the way of anyone else getting better. But at the same time, I think he has a lot of basketball abilities, some that are obvious and some that are completely underrated, even by us and Jazz fans and even by the team a little bit. I think some people look past some of the great things Marvin does for this team.
Is he going to get in the way of, you know, if the Jazz do draft the number one, two, or three overall pick next year and he plays the same position, do you see any trouble with Marvin Williams getting in the way of that development?
Depends who's a coach.
Oh, I knew you were going there.
Boom.
I knew it. I saw it in your eyes.
No, I think that is a big deal, right? And, with a different coach or maybe a different edict from the front office, who gets to play and what, I don't know that it makes a whole lot of sense to bring him back if the guy is Jabari Parker. Just because, you know, you do have a lot of people at that position already, but
depending on what you gave up to get to Jabari Parker,
that's true.
Unless the ping pong balls got you there, you probably gave up Burks or Kander to get to Jabari.
Although then neither of those guys play the small forward, power forward role, right?
No, I'm just saying now you've got some open spots in the rotation.
Right. But then you'd have Hayward at the three or the two, and then you've got, Jabari Parker there. You know, Marvin Williams probably only gets 15-20 minutes a game at that point, right? Or sure.
Wow, you're getting greedy. You want Wiggins and Parker on the same team?
That's
what Dennis Lindsay's going for.
If Lindsay
for.
Pulls that off,
I can make it happen on Xbox.
There's going to be a new statue out here on the planet below us.
So it's no surprise, no secret that Jazz are trying to develop this young five, this or whatever you want to call it.
Los Cinco. That's what I came up with last week.
Los Cinco?
Los Cinco.
Los Cinco. So they're trying to develop Los Cinco.
Trying to make it a thing.
But I think sometimes we forget Marvin is only 27, and he's developing still himself. Right, Marvin?
You know, each and every year I try to get better at something, and each and every year I'm put in a new position where you're almost forced to get better at something. You know, last year our team was a little older, so I was just kind of another vet. But this year when you lose so many vets, man, you kind of have to step into a leadership role a little bit and kind of help, you know, bring some of the younger guys along. So I've enjoyed it thus far. I think the younger guys have enjoyed it thus far, and, you know, we're having a good time trying to turn this thing around.
I would totally believe that, except the best year of his career was when he was 22, right?
Okay.
Like in his fourth season. He's one of those players who hasn't changed his production a whole lot throughout his career, and last year was probably his worst year of his career, right? So,
but
I
he's
don't
changed
know that,
from last year to this year.
Sure, I mean,
drastically.
Yeah, he's improved, and I think that a lot of that's role. And to Dan Clayton's credit here, who you predicted that, you know, and with a different role and a different offense,
and playing on a bad will last year. And all
yeah,
that,
and
so.
Exactly, and you know, I don't want to give him too much crap for that, but the truth of the matter is that he's not a drastically different player than he was throughout his career, right?
No, I agree, but I think he's probably someone who does understand the intangibles a lot better, and that's mostly what I was referring to a minute ago when I vaguely said that he does a lot of things for the Jazz that people don't talk about, and it's stuff like, you know, the direction he provides to other players on defense. He's a really aggressive helper, but almost always gets back to his own man. He, you know, there are just a lot of things like that that aren't going to show up when we go to Basketball Reference and look at his year-over-year production. And those are areas where I think he has gotten better. But again, I mean, you know, grading on a curve here, those are the kinds of the things that you expect your vets to be able to do. That's the reason why coaches like Ty Corbin tend to play Richard Jefferson and Andres Biedrens over Alec Burks and Rudy Gobert, because they just understand some nuances of the game that these younger talented guys that have more raw talent maybe don't get all of those, you know, little quirks yet.
Respond to us on Twitter at Austin Horton, at Andy B. Larson, at Jazz 1600 AM. Do you want Marvin back next year? U of U Jazz says yes, but not as a starter. We've mentioned Devin Masters saying yes, also as a reserve. Jazz Nation, or I guess I am a Utah Jazz fan, thinks Marvin's going to get traded before the deadline.
Honestly, that's kind of where my money is at right now.
Yeah.
As sad as that makes me to say.
Clinton Knight says if he's part of the plan, you have to bring him back. And I'm with Clinton Knight. I think if Dennis Lindsay has seen enough from Marvin Williams and thinks that he can fit in with this roster and the coaching staff, whoever it be, then you've got to bring him back.
I just think
that's
like
price.
0.8 of that plan. You know what I mean? Like, there are 7 guys on the roster who probably are going to be more important than Marvin Williams on a great team.
Yeah.
And figuring out like the Jabari Parker, Andrew Wiggins, Gordon Hayward, Derek Favors kind of pieces is going to be his top priority over figuring out where Marvin Williams fits in off the bench as a 6th, 7th, or 8th guy.
Let's traipse into Never Never Land, okay? Let's pretend that you have to choose between Enes Kanter, Alec Burks, and Marvin Williams. Who do you want?
Long term?
Oh, yes. Man, that's a tough one.
Who do you want part of the plan out of those, if you could only choose one of those three? Enes Kanter, Alec Burks, or Marvin Williams?
I go Enes Kanter.
You know, I probably go Enes Kanter too, but the reason I say that's a tough one is because Enes is probably the guy with both the highest ceiling and kind of the most questions about will he get there.
Yeah. No, but even his production last year, in his second year, was better than either Marvin Williams has ever been by PER and either Alec Burks, right?
Yeah, but if we're going by PER and disregarding things like level of competition, then Jeremy Evans wins this battle above all three.
I take Jeremy.
So, you know what I mean? Like Enes Kanter did have a really great year last year. The Jazz also tried pretty hard to protect him against playing against the Tim Duncans.
Yeah.
So, I mean, having said that, I still probably say Kanter, and I think the point you're trying to make, Austin, and I agree with it if I'm reading your mind correctly, is that, you know, Marvin probably, you know, he's part of the plan in as much as he can complement the plan.
Yes.
But he's not, you know.
He's not one of the three guys in the plan.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the three you got right now are Derek Favors, Trey Burke, and Gordon Hayward right now, today. Those are the three most important to the plan today. Because Enes hasn't played very well this season.
I think the three guys that are most important to the plan today are Derek Favors, Gordon Hayward, and whatever the Jazz get this June.
Yeah.
And anything
No, you don't
else,
even put Trey in there?
No, I think the Jazz are really high on Trey. But again, I just think if it comes down to it, the Jazz will do what it takes this June.
To get in. They have to. They've put all their eggs in that basket.
I believe that, and I don't believe that anyone on this roster. I think Gordon's safe because he can't be traded leading up to the draft. He can be traded up till February, but not until the draft.
Because of the rule, yeah.
And I think Derek's safe because of the extension. I don't think anyone else, if it gets you Jabari, I don't think anyone else is off the table.
Do you do like a Trey Burke plus number 8 for like a number 2 or number 3 pick?
Ooh.
I mean, honestly, you're the other team. You own the number 2 pick, and you're about to pick Jabari Parker, and someone calls you and says, we'll give you the number 8 and Trey Burke.
I don't do it.
Don't
you're
you
right.
hang up
yeah,
the phone?
No, you're right.
I mean, that's a good deal for the Jazz. As much as we like Trey Burke, that's a good deal for the Jazz.
Yeah.
A lot of liquid assets here for the Jazz. A lot to move, a lot to think about. We will come back on the other side here on the Saturday show, get to more of your tweets and texts. You can always give us a call, 855-340-ZONE. Is RJ Richard Jefferson playing too much? Do you buy Gordon Hayward's injury? And do you want Marvin Williams back next year in a Jazz uniform? We'll be right back here on 1280 The Zone. It is the Saturday show. Thank you. Okay. Oh. A little curveball there from McGregor's own. Our man.
So many listeners right now are going, did I change the channel?
Yeah,
what happened?
For those who are confused.
Welcome to KSL Radio.
I like the KSL Radio voice.
Oh, man. God be with you till we meet again, bringing
Thanks.
Us back
Thanks,
in here.
Patrick. That's sweet.
Dan is off to bigger and better. We'll get to that here before we close out the show. How do I? What?
I don't know.
And now
let's go to the Twitter
and now for, yeah, and now for the scripture of the day. John 3:16.
That's good stuff.
Anyway, so Richard Jefferson, is he playing too much?
Yes.
Andy?
Yeah.
He is?
I mean, it's not, it doesn't freak me out like it does a lot of people,
yeah.
But it's probably too much. He should probably have less time than Alec Burks.
I mean, that's my thing, is I get why Ty Corbin wants to play him,
yeah.
And I even get why Dennis Lindsay probably
okay
wants
with
to
him
play
him,
right?
Because showcasing him, yeah.
Yeah, although I don't buy into the showcasing thing as much, because I think in as tight a community as the NBA is, I think most people know what Richard Jefferson is and isn't. I don't think you're going to fool somebody because he had a good week. You know what I mean? Now, having said that, he's a little up there in age, so maybe you want to show people that, hey, he can still jump, he can still run, he can still do physical things. But I think beyond that, the showcasing thing always kind of, I don't know, I don't really get that when you're talking about.
I honestly can't remember an instance in which that's really worked.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But at the same time, you know, like Dennis is probably looking at the big picture and saying, you know, hey, it's okay if.
Well, then you have to buy into what Toby Bombs is saying, that RJ playing time is fine because he's helping the guys develop. He's helping them learn things that another veteran wouldn't help them learn. Because that's the only other explanation for why Jefferson's playing. You can't say Jefferson's playing to win. Although Ty Corbin is trying to win.
That's probably what's happening. Is
But if that were the case, wouldn't the management step in and say, hey, listen, he's playing too much. You got to do something about
this. Well, but that's the thing. I don't think Richard Jefferson is a bad basketball player. I think he's a limited basketball player, but he understands his limits and he understands the game. And I think most coaches would rather play a guy that they know. They would rather play a guy who's slightly less talented or even significantly less talented if it's a guy that they know that when they throw their finger up and call a play, the guy will go execute that play.
Well, it depends on what finger you're throwing up.
Yeah.
Bada bing.
Versus playing another guy who probably is more talented, but it's a little bit of an adventure. Are they going to, you know, like Ty made a comment in December that actually really caught my attention. He said something about how this is after everybody got healthy and Marvin was in the starting lineup and, you know, everybody was, it was all kumbaya and everyone was happy. And he said, Ty said, you know, it's nice to be able to make an in-game adjustment on the fly and have all five guys know what I'm asking for and do it and not have to call a timeout to make an adjustment.
And it's Cantor.
And that, I don't know who he was talking about. Cantor is one
Probably
of my guesses. But, you know, I think that comment sheds a lot of light on why a guy like Richard Jefferson gets minutes. But having said that, I still think he's probably playing too much.
And the other question of the day, Marvin Williams, should he come back next year or not? I think we're all in agreement that he should if he's Plan D, Part D or E of said plan.
Yeah, no, I'd love to have him back. I'd love to have Jabari Parker more.
If he's still if he's still here on February 21st, then yes, I would absolutely love to have him back. And if he's not
Even
here
if he's not,
on
can we try to re-sign him?
Well, yeah, that's true.
We've got the cap space.
Yeah,
that's true.
Although you are also going to need to offer Gordon Hayward.
Sure, mm-hmm.
You're also going to have to worry about that. You're going to have to sign
that
your
that might cost you a little bit.
Yeah, and. Speaking of Gordon, the injury, I don't think it's a fake injury.
No, I think
But
it's
I think
real.
In any other season, he would be playing through it.
Yeah. I think it's just a season where it's okay to take your time. And on top of that, I think it's interesting because if one of the 3Ds this year is development, I think it's interesting to say, okay, Alec Burks, it's your night. And by the way, you got to take care of C.J. Miles, who's been having a hot week, and I don't think Alec Burks did that well on C.J. Miles last night. So maybe the ancillary benefit here.
So
is,
we should have kept C.J. Miles. Is that what you're trying to say?
Oh yeah. Wow. Let's make me the enemy of every Jazz fan.
I
like C.J.
I like C.J. too.
But it was you know pretty much time on that front.
C.J. the player or the person?
Yes,
you guys
a little
couldn't
bit.
Like CJ the player.
Yes, a little bit, but I mean CJ's not the guy that you like if you're into advanced metrics. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And we were just talking during the commercial break about Alec Burks' decision making. Like That's what happens when Alec Burks grows up without correcting those decision-making things. He turns into a C.J. Miles who, you know, just, you know. It probably sounds like I'm ripping on C.J. Miles. I really like C.J.
Go ahead. Okay. Real quick, before we finish up this show, J.R. Smith, he's going to be traded, right?
Speaking of boneheads.
Right.
I don't think they can trade him. I mean, honestly, his contract is so unfriendly. I just don't.
So he's
I don't
just
going to
rot on the bench in New York.
You Marbury him.
They just signed him for $6 million a year for 3 more years, I think.
Yeah, and everyone takes him with all the other issues at that price at shooting 35%. Right?
It's like just another way
the
Knicks
only thing that the Knicks can do is either Marbury him and just keep him on the bench and never, ever, 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 ever play him like they did in their last game, or play him and hope he kind of shows shooting improvement and can shoot like he did last year, and then maybe he adds some value. But although, I don't see any way they trade him between now and February 20th.
Although, by the way, last night he had a near triple double, and that's probably just the yearly I have repented of my sins. I'm a serious basketball player now. We get out of J.R. Smith, and he'll probably go back to being a blockhead in the next game. But he played really well last night.
I like Ian Thompson, just real quick from Sports Illustrated, about R.J. Smith or J.R. Smith said on his tombstone it should read, "Quote: Why would you dot dot dot?" That's what tombstone should be. Okay. That is another edition of the Saturday Show, but real quickly here in the last couple of minutes, our man, Dan the man, Clayton, he's off to bigger and better. Dan, you're headed to New York.
Yep.
What's going on, man?
So, you know, my day job gave me an opportunity to kind of take the next step. It obviously, the toughest part of that conversation, you know, right there with friends and family and just moving across the country, was the fact that it meant I'd, you know, have to leave this really fun chapter of my life behind me, but ultimately decided it was the right thing to do. So, yeah, last night was actually my last game, my last game that I would call for Spanish radio, that I would help call along with Nelson Moran, Nicole Hernandez, and the rest of the Spanish radio team. And that's after I was figuring it out. I basically have covered pretty much every second of the post-John and Carl Jazz, with one brief like half season hiatus there in the middle, so only about three
would
and a half.
Would you break your parole? You have to go
back.
Exactly.
So I mean, it's been a tremendous ride. The last 4 years have been on the air with the Spanish radio team, but all in all, 10 or 11 years now of covering the Jazz in some form or fashion, and you know, meeting great folks and covering a sport that I love. Covering my hometown team, which, I mean, a lot of people just, you know, would die for the chance to get to cover, you know, the team that they cheered for when they were a kid and that they memorized their roster when they were 5 years old and that kind of thing. So an amazing opportunity and a sad thing to leave behind. But, you know, I'm excited too.
Well, in all sincerity, we've enjoyed your work both on the calls and here on the show. I'm sure we'll have you back on the show from time to time. You're going to stay working with Salt City Hoops.
That's the good news from my point of view, is that you're still going to be writing for Salt City Hoops, and we look forward to your content. Yeah. It's been awesome that I was able to rope you into to doing that.
Parting is such sweet sorrow. We wish you the very best.
Thanks
and
a lot.
Hope to
and
keep
you know,
in contact with you.
They do have phones out in New York, so you know,
it's
you
a
can,
weird
you can
phenomenon.
Call me in every now and then if you want to.
I'll send you a telegram.
Dish about Richard Jefferson for a segment or something. Yeah. So, you know.
All right. Well, fairly well, Dan Clayton.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that is the Saturday Show. We will be back next week at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the NFL playoffs and go down swinging.